In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus says, you will have sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. In this season of Easter, we realize that the only rock-solid foundation for the joy of the Christian is this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the joy that is yours, and it is the joy that is mine. That Jesus Christ is indeed raised from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, as we confess in the Catechism. Everything else in this world, mind you, is temporary. Everything else is transient. Everything else is passing away. Everything else can be destroyed. It decays. Everything else will fail you. Everything else can be stolen or taken from you. And everything else changes. And you can't put your joy, nor can you find it, in people around you, contrary to popular belief. People will fail you at some point. They will lie to you. They will do something that you did not expect them to do. You expect them to do something and they don't do it. One time or another, people have failed people. You can't find your joy in the things that you have, no matter how many you have, because they break, they get stolen, they wear out. You can't find your joy in your circumstances either. You can't find your joy in whether things go well for you or they don't go well for you. Whether things go the way that you want them to go or the way that they don't go. You can't find your joy in your particular life because things often go not the way that you want them to go, but the way that you don't. You cannot find your joy in anything else than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is the only rock-solid foundation for your joy. And so, it is. When horrific tragedy, when sorrow invades your life, it is often commented that all we have in such veil of sorrow is each other. At least that's what the world says. That all we have is our vulnerability. All we have is a shoulder to cry on or an ear to listen to our grievances. But when you think about that from a Christian Lutheran understanding, it's actually quite a depressing thought. It really is. Because if all we have is each other, this is a sinking ship. If all we have is the hope of one another, then we have all failed. We would have had as much hope or as much joy as if Jesus never rose from the dead. If all we have is each other, how can we help one another even when we cannot deal with the very things that cause sorrow? Now, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead at all, then I suppose his life is kind of like one of them carnival games that you might have seen. I did when I was little. It's a huge glass case, and a man or a woman is standing in the case upright, and there's all this money blowing around, and they have so much time to grab as much money as they can. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that's essentially what this life is. You grab and get however much money or things that you can have, and time, as you get it, runs out. So, you might as well grab whatever you can because time is running out. This is the extent of which we have joy in this earthly life outside of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. You might as well get what you can get. You might as well live whatever life you want to live now. Go on as many joy rides as you possibly can, because eventually the clock is going to turn to zero. And Jesus says, this is precisely how the world rejoices. Now, it was on the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, the night before he died, that he says these words from John chapter 16 to his apostles. In a little while you will not see me. That is to say, in a little while I'm going to die, and you're not going to see me because I'm going to be buried in the ground. And again, he says, in a little while you will see me. That is to say, because I'm going to rise from the dead by the glory of my Father. But you will have sorrow in the interim. You will have sorrow while the world around you is rejoicing over my death. The world will go back, you see, to its business of getting whatever it can, however it can do it, before time runs out. And it won't have to be confronted with God in the flesh anymore, walking around and teaching and speaking miracles. No. The world will rejoice because, according to them, God is dead, and he has not risen from the dead. But you will know that none of these things that the world rejoices over will last. None of them will make you happy in and of themselves. Certainly none of these things, as you know, will last beyond death. And then even you, the Christian, might wonder, what if indeed God is gone and he is not here? And he does not respond to your cries and your prayers. Then what do you have if you do not believe that he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns through all eternity? You have nothing but eternal sorrow. But Jesus gives them, that is the apostles and us, a promise. That yes, we will have sorrow in this world in its manifold ways. But he says that I will see you again. That is, you will see me in my risen and resurrected flesh. And when you see me, and you see the nail marks, and you see the pierced side, you will rejoice. And that's exactly what happens. Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room as they were fearing, and he sees them, and he shows them his hands, and he shows them his side, and they rejoice because Jesus is now risen from the dead. This is their source of joy, and this joy cannot be taken from them because it is embodied in Jesus. Think about it. Really think about this. What is more permanent than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? What is more permanent than your resurrection? Not even death can compete with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not even the things that we think are final, the things that we think that are most important, even death, which we think is so final, is not final in the face of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how do we know this? It is by revelation. John receives a revelation from Jesus Christ, and he hears it in his ears, this wonderful news. Death is no more. There won't be any mourning or crying or pain anymore. The sorrows of this life will be gone. And God says, look, behold, see, I am making all things new. New heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem, new bodies, new people. But our problem is that we think that the things that we touch and the things that we see and the things that we experience, we think those things are the permanent things. Those are the concrete things that I can touch and I can see. But St. Paul teaches us in the epistles that it is exactly the opposite. The things that you can see and the things that you can touch and feel are actually the temporary things. For those things are passing away. But rather, it is the unseen things, the things that you cannot see with the eye and feel with the hand, that are eternal. That is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. This new creation in the very body of Jesus, though unseen, is yet more real than the things that you can feel, touch, and see. For these things are eternal things. These things are the things that last. They're the only things that last. You see, we live in a world full of sorrow. And Jesus says, you will have sorrow now. So I tell you, there's no good in denying it. There's no good in pretending that sorrow does not exist in this life and that somehow we have it all together and that we are with each other and everything is roses and everything is okay and you're okay and I'm okay, etc. You know why? Because Jesus says it's not. He sees what things are and he calls things what they are. You will have sorrow in this world. You will have trouble in this world. And yet the promise is, I will see you again, Jesus says. I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice. Just as my apostles did on that first day when they saw me. And no one, not even sin, Satan, and the devil, can take that joy from you. Simply because, as Jesus says, my resurrection is permanent. My resurrection is unchangeable. For everything else in this world, my dear friends, changes. It goes up and it goes down. And if our joy is connected to those things, if our joy is found in those things, joy simply becomes an emotion. That which goes up and that which goes down. Goes up and down according to the circumstances of our life. The people around us, the experiences that we have or we don't have. But that can't last and it won't last. That is not permanent. Eventually, we will want to get off this kind of carnival that goes up and that goes down. So Jesus says, look, I have this joy that is unchangeable and it's for you. I have this joy that is permanent and it's for you. See, we have this light and momentary affliction. This tentatio, we have this sorrow now. A light and momentary affliction. But Jesus says, look, I am preparing, and this is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. An eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Beyond all comparison. That means this, that the best things that you can think of in life, the most happiest times that you can think of in your life, the most happiest experiences that you've ever had in life, and even those which you are looking forward to, are nothing compared to the weight of glory and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be revealed in you and upon you on that last day. There the joy is permanent. And it is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is found in the Holy Spirit who comes to you and speaks to you nothing but that which Jesus Christ has already said and done for you. Jesus says the following: the Spirit will lead you into all truth. That is, He will lead you into Me. For Jesus is the truth. And Jesus also says, look, He's not going to speak from His own mouth as if the Holy Spirit has some completely different kind of stuff and different kinds of things that He has to say to you that Jesus has not said to you. No, the Spirit says the same thing that Jesus says. The Holy Spirit is, if you will, a parrot. And He would have it no other way. And Jesus says the same things that the Spirit says and that the Father says. For the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three agree. The water, the blood, and the Spirit, they all testify to the same thing. That your joy is complete in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that these alone are eternal. So He says, a little while, and you will have sorrow. Now I know enough, even though I'm young, that I would not be the husband who says to his wife who is in labor, honey, it's just a little while. It will be over soon. And I would advise any to be father to not say that to his very pregnant wife. It would not be the smartest thing to do. But once it is over, once it is done, it does seem like a little while, especially as the child lays on the mother's breast and feels the skin of the child and the smile and the coos of the child. It does kind of seem like it was a little while. And now only the joy, that is, the joy of new life, the joy that Jesus says of a man or a child being born into the world. But here in this case, a man being born into the world, that is our joy. But not only a man, but also God being born into this world. A man born into this world in order, who is also God, in order to take upon our sins, our sorrows, and our griefs, and all that is wrong with this life. To bear it all upon the cross and to gladly suffer it for our sake. For Jesus, though, was not only born into this world to die for our sins, but He was born from death unto life. He is, as St. Paul says, the firstborn of the dead. So now Paul also says of the church, that Jesus Christ is the head and we are the body. Back to the labor room. I don't know anything about this in terms of its pain, but having seen it with my own eyes, I know, and I would be inclined to say, that giving birth to the head is the hardest part. But once the head comes through, then the body, generally speaking, effortlessly comes with it. So it is with the Christian church, that our head has been born from death unto life, and we, the body, go with it effortlessly. We must follow Christ. Not in a law sense, but in a gospel sense. For He has been born from death unto life, and therefore we have been born from death unto life. Because Jesus has already done it all, and He has paid the entire price of our sin. There is no more suffering, there is no more pain, there is no more punishment for your sin or for my sin. Born from death unto life forever, that joy is permanent, that joy is unchangeable, and that joy is rock solid. Therefore, joy for today, whether the day is good or bad. Joy for the week, whether the week is good or bad. Joy for the month or the year or the life, whether it is good or it is bad. And so we pray, as we did in the collect, which is very key to this text in the gospel lesson, that while there is changes and decay and all kinds of things that wear out and die, and there is sorrow and there is loss, our hearts, our minds would be fixed where true joys are to be found. And that is none other than in this place, where your ears hear the word of God, your mouths and your lips eat the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and your identity as children of God, born from water and the Spirit, are those things which are permanently joyful, which you shall one day eternally enjoy with all of God's saints, both living and departed. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Amen.